This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the Scarf Pagara War, part of the TalkSport Fan Network, and charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans.
Hello and welcome to the penultimate Courtyard Club Call for this season. Today, we're obviously going to go over the 4-2 home victory against Accrington on Champions Day. We might touch on that as well. So today I am joined, as always, by Dan and Jimmy. How are we doing, guys?
Yeah, not too bad.
Brilliant. Thanks, mate.
Good, good. And we are also graced with the presence of our supreme leader, Russ. How are we doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Thanks for the introduction.
Thank you. No worries. Of course, leader. No problem.
There's no need to be a knob about it. Come on.
So we'll go through, as always, we'll go through the lineup, we'll go through the formation, go through the first half, talk about the second half, man of the match, and then we'll have a wrap up and probably just have a little bit of chat about the celebrations that did occur on Saturday. So, as always, going off FOT Mob, starting lineup of Ben Hinchliffe in net, Bristow, Pye, Horsfall, Noyle, Barry, Sars, Camps, Lemony Evans, Madden and Wotton up front. So they're saying they've shown it as a 4-4-2. So from the lineup, any surprises? Anybody get 11 out of 11 on FanHub?
No, the surprise was he went that strong, to be honest. I thought there would be a bit more fringe players involved and get a start. Like Hippolyte would start, and players like that. So I was quite surprised actually how strong the lineup was. Obviously, the Barry getting a start was on the cards because obviously three subs before, appearances before that. So I think that was not a massive surprise. But the fact that he just went so strong was the surprise for me.
Yeah, what did you think, Jimmy? Was anything surprising there for yourself, or are you the same opinion with Dan?
Yeah, I mean, David said in the week, hadn't he, that he was going to leave it up to the players as to how they felt or how they wanted the last couple of games to go. So they must have turned around and said, look, mate, we want to win both games. We've got a chance of getting 100 goals as well for the season. So just need five against Wrexham, but you never know.
Just another five against Wrexham.
Just another five. We've done it already. So, yeah, he's gone super strong again, hasn't he? I mean, that is probably our first team with the players that we've got available.
Yep. What did you think, Russ?
Yes, kind of agree with both there. It surprised at how strong it was, but I was pleased at how strong it was because I've got two eyes on the Wrexham match, and I always have done since the fixtures came out, really. Maybe I'm overdoing it a bit, but I was pleasantly surprised with how strong it was. And there's no surprises in terms of individuals, is there? Because we all expect them to play. They've all played during the season. I was kind of surprised at how the game unfolded, but we'll come to that. But yeah, no real surprises. I think I got 8 out of 11. Sorry.
I got 10, but I'm not sure. I was a bit drunk, so I couldn't remember when I had a look later on what I'd actually got. Yeah, I think he's sort of alluded to it as well, as you say, going with a strong strong lineup, is that he didn't want to do a late in Orient last year because they were champions. They were getting the trophy presented to them, and we went and we spanked them 3-0, I think, wasn't it? And it was sort of a bit of a damp squib then, wasn't it? So I can see why he went that strong, and it was really strong. Do you think it was a 4-4-2, or do you think it was more, you know, it didn't seem very rigid again, did it? We seemed to be quite sort of free flowing with where we were trying to press and stuff like that.
For me, the only rigidness about the actual formation was Hinchliff in goal, High and Horsfall were the two defenders, and Wootton was up front. That was the only rigid part of the whole formation for me, because at times it was literally a back three of Pye, Hinchliff, Horsfall. That was the defence. Everybody else was just bombing on. So, yeah, it just seemed that, you know, the shackles were off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, going for the stats for the first half, going into the first half, 67% possession for us, 33% for them. Expected goals 1.14, then an XG of 0.2. Total shots, we had 10, they had 4. We had 2 on target, they had 1 on target. And we had 287 passes, of which we had 232 accurate passes. So going into the first half, how do we think we started with that, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with Dan. It was so fluid. Noyle and Bristow. Bristow's very good going forward, I think. But maybe at the back, he's not quite as good as Torre. Just gives us a slightly different dimension, I guess. Paddy's playing a lot better in midfield than he was sort of at this midpoint of the season when we had all those injuries to our midfielders. He's really sort of settled into that position with Barry probably playing alongside him and Wootton as the point man. It was a bit of a basketball game in the first half, I think. Yeah. They looked like they could score every time they got into our final third, which in fairness wasn't that often, but we played so well. And Sars was on top form as well. So all good.
Yeah, it was. I mean, the first goal, glad to see Kyle Wootton finally getting a goal. It's been a long time coming. I think it's Christmas, isn't it, last time he scored?
That's his first goal this year, yeah.
And assist by Barry. So it's another great goal. What's your thoughts on the first goal, Russ?
I just thought it was really good work by Barry, wasn't it, to come inside. He's again, we said it earlier in the season, he's like a cheat code, isn't he? Because the ball just sticks to him. It's like that Harry Enfield sketch where they've got the glue on the ball on his foot and he just sticks to him. Because someone tried to take him out on the edge of the box, didn't they? And he somehow rode that and stayed up and managed to get it to Wootton. Sort of a reverse ball, wasn't it, to Wootton. And Wootton came inside and then hit it home. I think the goalkeepers are going to be disappointed with that one. But yeah, good to see Wootton get off the mark after such a long time. And yeah, it was just a good goal all around, wasn't it? It was nice to see Barry doing his thing.
Yep. We did seem to relax, I think, once we got that early goal. But I think we relaxed a bit too much, didn't we? Because we sort of let them come back in. But I think the more we talk about it, I think every time that we scored, we took our foot off the gas, slowed it down a bit, and then relaxed. And then they'd sort of give it a go and they'd score. And then we'd be like, all right, okay, we better step up again. That's the way I sort of saw it, as you say, yeah, more of a basketball game, wasn't it, rather than a football game. And then, yeah, so they equalised on the 17th minute. And then we went ahead just before half-time. Great ball out to Paddy. Who was it? Pinged the ball out to Paddy. Someone put the ball out wide to Paddy, didn't he? Was that Sars?
I think so, yeah.
He just put it into the middle, didn't he? And then Lemony Evans. I thought it's one of them that looked like an easy goal, but he's sliding into the ball, isn't he? So I thought it was a well-taken goal. And I think he made it look a lot easier than the actual chance was. What did you think, Dan?
Yeah, I mean, if Evans missed it, Barry was backing him up. He was just behind him. So, you know, we overloaded the box. So, you know, first time across, I think, from Paddy. Paddy sort of controlled it one touch, got it out of his feet, and then he just pinged it straight across the six-yard box. And like you say, we've bread and butter, really. And I think Lemonade Evans has scored a few goals like that, anyway, where he sort of come in behind the defender and just sort of, you know, tapped it in, slid it into the net. So, yeah, like I say, we sort of stepped it up again. And, you know, it was Sarcevic and Camps were sort of playing so much more forward than what they normally do at times. It looked like, for me, Sarcevic of old. I don't know if that's because Powell, it wasn't Sarcevic and Powell and just Sarcevic on his own, but it looked like Sarcevic. For me, he was controlling the game. And Camps were obviously a little bit more forward, so that sort of gave them that sort of space in behind, in front of our two defenders as such, to sort of attack a little bit more. So it was a little bit more open than what a normal Dave Challoner County team is, I think.
I think The thing that was impressive about that second goal is kind of getting into the box in that central position. Obviously, Paddy moves out to the right, plays the cross in. And there aren't many. Well, was he a right wing back at that point, or was he a right-sided midfielder? Probably right-sided midfield at that point. But there aren't many players that would think, right, I'm going to break my net to get into there. And he showed real desire to get in front of the defender as well, who took him out pretty much after he'd stuck the ball in the back of the net. So I've just been so impressed with him, and I just hope he stays. I think he's just got everything, apart from maybe that little bit of pace. But everything else, he's just brilliant. And I think the higher up the leagues we go, the more intelligent the players we have around him to find him when he picks out these little pockets of space.
So, yeah.
When we get to the third goal, though, Evans, when you watch Wootton for the third goal, if Wootton misses the header, Evans is, same again, the player right behind him. It's the same again. He's made that run again to get into the box to support and get, you know, to get in there. And like you say, Notts County played every position on that right hand side. He was right back at times, right wing back, right midfield, you know, same again. I think as the season's gone on and the more we've asked of him, I think his game is developing. And, you know, for that, you know, he has to stay, really, for that and try himself at League One.
I've been massively impressed with him. I've kind of been like half and half whether we should keep him or not, and even bring him back from Wimbledon, and we did that out of necessity, didn't we? In the end. But just going back to what Jimmy said, absolutely agree, and you can bolt on to everything that Jimmy said and add bravery as well, because you've got a goalkeeper coming out at you. So you kind of know the writing's on the wall, so he's got to get there first, and you know he's going to get either taken out as a minimum, like he did, you know, or you could even get an injury. So for me, that sort of tipped it for me, that when we do our squad podcast, he's tipped it for me to say I want him to stay and see what he can do in League One.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, totally agree. Did anybody see Louis Barry's yellow card? Did you see what he got it for?
If you watch the highlights after we scored the goal,
he's a defender.
Is that what he got it for?
Tap one of the defenders across the back of the head or something. I don't know if that was actually for, but because at the time, I think, why has he booked him? Because the referee weren't the greatest, I thought. And I thought, why has he booked him? But like you say, when you watch the highlights, it looks like Barry's giving him a slap back around the back of the head.
Yeah, he was starting to lose it a little bit, wasn't he, Barry? Because he was, I mean, this is going to happen every time he sets foot on a football pitch, but the defender's going to want to take him out.
Yeah.
Isn't it? And he just kept on trying to do it. And Barry rode challenges. He did get taken out every now and then. And he felt he wasn't getting any protection from the referee. And I think, again, hopefully as we move up the leagues, maybe the defending won't be quite so agricultural. I don't know. We'll see.
we'll see. Well, they might get punished for being a bit more agricultural.
I think he was moaning, wasn't he, Barry? Because he was being grabbed by the arm so much. He went over to the referee and said, look at my arm. Look at the marks on my arm where he's absolutely ripping, gripping and ripping his arm to bits. But same again, I think he looked that he knew that he was coming off at half-time. To me, he knew that he was pushing his buttons and stuff like that. Because I think if he's on there for 90 minutes, I think he plays it down a little bit. I think they looked like some of them players knew that they were coming off at half-time. So they were quite happy to sort of give, as good as they were getting.
Right, yeah. Anything else that stood out from the first half for anybody?
Do we
just say... Go on, Russ.
So I was going to say, do we address the defending for their goal? I mean, I can't. A bit of me kind of thinks let's not, because it was a celebration day, and you can forgive them for not defending well. But that, I mean, at the end of the day, that guy, I don't know who it was who scored their goal, but he had the freedom eventually, didn't he, to get his shot away?
I think it was very much a game of we'll just score more than you today, guys. I mean, as Dan said, our defence was Ben, Ethan Pye and Fraser Horsfall. The others were just bombing on, weren't they, really? So. Yeah.
It's like we had rush goalkeeper, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Rush goalie.
But with that, their goal, though, because Barry was the player being trapped back and he got sort of not pushed off the ball, but he sort of out-muscled on the ball by their player. Best, but same again. I thought the shot, to be honest, nobody was going to save that shot. That was that was Paddy Madden esque Sutton force type breaking the back of the net. So, like you say, a normal County setup, you would probably expect, like you say, Camps to be a bit more in the back and holding it together. But, like you say, we just went the leashes off the dogs, and that's what we're going to... It's a bit disappointing because I was hoping for a clean sheet. It was one of them. Would you go for a 4-2 win or just a 1-0 win and another clean sheet for Ben? But a win's a win.
Mm. Yep. So going into the second half then, four changes made at half-time. Crowsdale on for Madden, Hippo on for Bristow, Powell on for Camps and Bailey on for Barry. Did that change our shape, do you think? Did we move people around? I'll be honest, I missed the first 10 minutes of the second half because I was still having a pint in the courtyard. So
with me.
With Russ.
so Jimmy, Dan, over to you.
It definitely affected our rhythm, those substitutions for the first 10-15 minutes. Yeah. You can see from the momentum chart on FotMob, it was the worst period of the game for us. Whether it was because their manager had sort of said, look, guys, they're taking the piss out of you here. Because we were. I mean, we were in second gear and we could have scored more goals in that first half if we wanted to. But we slowly sort of wrestled it from them. And the third goal was the key, I think. Once that went in, we felt it was game over, although they scored another one again, didn't they, to make it 3-2. But that was my feeling on the first 10-15 minutes.
I felt their aggression level, not County's, Accrington's aggression, got a lot. Like you say, they must have got a telling off at half-time and said, these are taking the mick out of you. You're not competing. You're not winning the battles. You're not putting your foot in. And say that first 10-15 minutes, they seemed to a little bit, not nasty, but there's a little bit, they got a little bit more, you're not going to embarrass us anymore type scenario until we scored the third. But yeah, they sort of put a fight up in the first 10 minutes of that second half, Accrington.
Yep. So the third goal, Kyle Wotton, assisted by Hippo. I can't remember it.
Can't you remember the Powell pass? It was all pass. About...
Oh, the Powell pass was brilliant.
Yeah. It was all about the Powell pass,
right,
to be honest. He's down, obviously, in front of the Begawa stand. And he's with his right foot, he's managed to sort of like tow it down the line so it then curls back into the path of Hippolyte, who seems to, I think it was first touch, he's looked up and just crossed it straight in the box. And I say, Wotton doing what we want to see Wotton do, just coming in, getting his head to the ball and in the back of the net.
Again, there were two players, weren't there? I think there was someone behind Wotton as well.
Yes, Lemon A. Evans. Saying Lemon A. Evans, if Wotton had missed it, Lemon A. Evans would have been there to back it into the back of the net. And like I say, to be honest, for me, I thought, same again, that performance off Wotton was the same performance we've seen off Wotton probably for the last five or six games. The only difference is he's got two goals. You know, and like you say, it's just so good to see that his work rate actually got sort of some reward by scoring. And like I say, we were obviously at the Notts County game, and the amount of sticks some fans were giving Wotton, it's just unbelievable. And I say he works his socks off for the team, you know. So yeah, it was good to see Wotton get that second goal, the third goal for the game.
Am I right in saying that the substitutes were planned? Because I was quite surprised to see Barry and Madden go off. Not because I had them in my acca to score each a goal, but generally speaking, I was surprised that they both went off at half time.
I'm not sure Barry was due to go off. If you look at him, sort of 35, 40 minutes, he was feeling his knee quite a lot, probably on two or three occasions. He kept sort of bending down, rubbing his knee. So you're not going to take a risk with him, are you? So I think I'm not sure he was planned.
I think if Barry stayed on, he would have only played 60 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
To be honest. I don't think he would have played 90. So he wouldn't have played the full second half anyway.
But it just reminds me of where we were when he was in full flight, sort of September, October time, when having him on the pitch just gives other players more space because the defense.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So terrified of him. And that's what we missed in that little sticky period that we sort of had. Not having that game changer. And Russ, he's a complete cheat code. And let's say we can get him next season.
Yeah, him and Powell, aren't they? Both of them are, I think that you can tell the levels. And I think, as you said, with Lemon Evans coming back, I think him and Powell seem to have a really good understanding. So as you say, if you can have all three of them on the pitch together and all working together, I think that will look much better. As you say, hopefully we'll get Barry back for next season. He's been superb, and his interview made it sound like he wanted to come back, didn't he? He said he, really, really enjoyed his time there, loved the club, and wants to come back. So, hopefully, Villa will let him come back. So we'll wait and see.
I thought the interview with Powell was interesting as well. How he was saying that the job isn't complete, is it? Mm-hmm. Now, second half, he put a few passes, a few passes went astray, but he's the sort of guy that needs to be playing in games that matter. He wasn't even in first gear. I think he was in like half a gear in that game, if you can possibly get that. And so I think the bigger the teams that we play against, the better he will become next season.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree with that. His interview was my favourite. Because he sort of, like he does, his whole demeanour's very relaxed, isn't it? But he sort of stood there and went, not really sure what everyone's getting excited about. This is just a start.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, to have that calibre of player with that mindset in our game, in the English game, that's just phenomenal. He's he's championship minimum, I think.
Yeah.
And I think he'll do really, really well for us next season. If we can keep him fit, but he's not really had that much injury problems this season, has he? He's been out a couple of times maybe, but he's been there or thereabouts, hasn't he? So yeah, looking forward to him next season massively.
I think he's been involved in, was it 32 or 35 games, whether it's starting or substitute. So
there you
go. Pretty decent. That's a start that I saw.
Right. Yep. And then they pulled one back to make it 3-2, and then almost immediately we go back down the other end. Sars goal with Bailey. And by this point, I just really wasn't paying any attention.
Well, let's talk about their goal, because I'm part of the keepers' union. I think Hinchliffe's going to be really disappointed with that one.
Yeah.
Okay, he might have been unsighted, but
yes,
it travelled a long way.
Yeah, he's gone past Powell. Powell sort of stuck a leg out half-heartedly, and he's gone past that, and then he's cut inside the Accrington player. And same again, no one's really expected him to shoot from there. I don't even think it was that good of a shot, in all fairness, but it sort of managed to get past Ben. It sort of had a couple of bubbles on the way and trickled right into the corner. Like you say, I think at 3-1, it was like, there was no jeopardy involved at that point. Do you know what I mean? Everyone's just half jogging back and closing down was a bit half-heartedly.
Yeah, but possibly. Like you say,
you expect Ben to do better.
Yeah, yeah. But also, I'm gonna disagree with what you just said in terms of no one was expecting him to shoot, because he shaped to shoot once, didn't.
Yeah,
shaped to shoot again and did. So he looked like all the only thing on his mind was to shoot as soon as he got past right. Powell. He's like, Ram was, because it was that basketball game. He's probably just thinking, yeah, I'm just gonna have a go here, what happens.
Do you think, did you notice, see Ben move to the, like, take a step the other side, you know, so he...
I didn't see that much. I mean, probably have to look back at it again. Look, all I'm saying is he'll be disappointed. I'm not digging out Ben Hinchliffe. Bloody hell, he's like the legend of the club now, isn't he? You know?
Yeah.
So,
he will be disappointed, because it did, as you say, it wasn't a thunder bastard. Was it?
No, exactly. Yeah, it was stoppable.
That's the thing.
And Ben had, unless he was unsighted, it's the trigger. I don't know if you, in football terms, as a goalkeeper, you look for the trigger, which is usually a player's foot coming back because you know they're going to hit it, or the body language or the posture or whatever. And there was two of those, and one of them was the second one that he hit. So I reckon he'd be disappointed with that.
Yep, fair enough. Sarsi's goal, what did you think, Jimmy? Was you paying attention still?
I was paying attention to that one. That was beautiful, wasn't it? Oh, lovely, lovely finish over the top of the keeper. I can't remember what the build-up was, to be fair, but I remember it going in. So.
Yeah,
it was the press one. You had Bailey, Wotton, Sarsavich all pressing, and Bailey caught their defender out with the ball, and it was sort of like, I don't know if he's got a toe to it, Bailey, or the defenders played it back towards the goalkeeper, and then Sars is obviously run in and chipped the goalkeeper before the goalkeeper's managed to come out and clear it. But it was all about the press. The three of them were nice and tight up on them. Like you say, a reaction from them scoring their goal, maybe. They've sort of like woken themselves up again. And like I say, just the high press. And like I said, that one was mainly down to Bailey putting the pressure on and making their defender make the wrong decision.
Yep. So regards to man of the match, is there anything else anybody wants to say for the second half? Anything else that stuck out?
No, it was, to be honest, it was, at times it was like a pre-season friendly, I thought. The atmosphere
had a feel to it, didn't it?
Yeah, it just had like a pre-season friendly. No angst really about the Accrington at all. A bit like Morecambe, they were just there. I didn't have that sort of rivalry, or there were a player on the pitch that we were all getting hepped up about. I think we'll go on to the referee in a bit, but I think he was the only real party pooper out there.
I think it's probably the most relaxed I've ever been watching a football game. As you say, there was no jeopardy. It was just like, once that first goal went in, I just thought, we're going to win this. They've got nothing to play for. And not quite, I wouldn't quite go as far as to say that they were already on the beach, but they certainly weren't far away. They certainly packed the bags. So, as I say, it was just the most relaxed I've ever been. And that's probably why everything's completely slipped my mind, because obviously we had the presentation afterwards and everything like that. So going off man of the match on FotMob, it was Wotton. Did Wotton get it in the stadium as well?
Sars, I think, got it in the stadium. Sars got it.
So, yeah, so Wotton gets a 9.1 on FotMob. Sars got an 8.8. Then we've got Lemonade Evans on 7.8, and then everybody else is sort of low sevens, high sixes. So do we agree with the stadium, Sars being man of the match, or do we think FotMob's Wotton as man of the match, or do you have another person?
I think it's got to be Wotton. I mean, the poor guy's not scored for 4 months. Like, he scored 2 goals in a game, not scored for 4 months, and he doesn't get man of the match.
Yeah, that's true. Do you agree, Russ? Wotton, North
yeah.
Star?
Or... Yeah, you'd have to be sick and twisted not to give it in, wouldn't you, after 2 goals? So yeah, as sublime as Sars was. And Powell. Powell gets 7.2 on FotMob. Hippolyte got 7.4. I'm not quite sure what for.
He got an assist, didn't he? So I think as soon as you get an assist, you get one added on.
Probably. Yeah, Bailey got 7.2 as well, didn't he? So
that's a good shout. Yeah, you're probably right there. So yeah, I'd go for Wotton, me.
Dan?
Definitely Wotton all day. Like, I mean, to be honest, like I say, just for the last, like I say, 5-6 games, the hard work he's put in, he's not got the rewards by scoring a goal. He's got plenty of assists. Yeah, when, like you say, he deserves it.
Yep, totally agree. So we will let you have your say now, Dan. Ref watch, what did we make? should we let Russ and Jimmy go have a quick couple of seconds first, and then
I just felt that the occasion, like I say, it was Champions Day. The day was there for us. You know, Accrington come and put a fist about, make a game of it. They didn't roll over too much, you know. But the referee just felt that he wanted to be centre stage of it all, and he wanted everyone to be looking at him. And we've had referees like this before where it's more about the referee than the game. And I just felt that he was getting a little bit like that, where, you know, there was times, like you say, weren't the best by any means, not the best we've had this season. The second half of this season, we seem to have had sort of not very good refs at all, I feel. But yeah, he definitely was up there with some of the worst we've had this season, I thought.
Anybody want to add anything else? Agree with Dan? I'm pretty sure, yeah, he was a bit...
He was okay, I guess. I mean, the ref at the next weekend Wrexham game is going to have to be pretty strong, isn't he? I don't know if that's been announced yet. It won't be, will it? It'll be midweek.
No.
I would not want to be reffing that game, because I think they're going to want to beat us after Sarsavic's exploits. Put it that way.
I've heard a rumor about the ref on Saturday. I've heard it's going to be Pierluigi Collina.
That'd
be brilliant, wouldn't it?
You know, in these lot, there'll be a National League referee that they're deciding to put up, and his first game in the Football League will be that one. You know, it'll be a balmy decision.
As long as they're not a Luton fan, eh?
But yeah, the ref, I mean, do you know what? That's one of the things I didn't even notice on Saturday, because I was sharing alcoholic drinks with you, Waggy, before and after and during. So, yeah, I didn't even notice the ref. So,
So, yeah, as we said, it was Champions Day, and we got... I thought obviously they didn't want us to go on the pitch. There was just the one idiot that went on the pitch. But I think, and I won't repeat it, but the chant that the Cheadland sang with like 5 minutes to go: if you go on the pitch, you're a bleep. I think that deterred quite a few people from from trying to go on. But it was just, yeah, it's good to get it. Good to see a proper, as you say, a proper league title. First one, a league title. First one since 66, 67. It was just brilliant. And then we went into the courtyard, had a few in the courtyard and headed down to Basque. And then the majority of the players, I know they all went to the Albert first, didn't they? But majority of them all came into Basque and drank the night away. So it was a very, very good drunken evening. So it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. Any thoughts, anything to add on the champions?
I thought it was great, the trophy presentation, how each player got to walk out to get their medal, and the Cheadlen, well, probably the whole ground was serenading them. Louis Barry, sign him up. That was a great one. I'm sure Mark Stott heard that.
They're probably already working on it. If you listen to Dave Challoner's interview, I thought that was quite good. He's, yeah, I'll have a few beers, but we're basically, you know, we're back trying to sort out for the game against Wrexham, but they're already looking at League One, looking at where they want to improve or how they want to improve. So I thought that was quite a good interview as well with him. And then basically, you know, John was very, very busy, wasn't he? He's about 12 or 13 interviews.
13
that he's done. So yeah, it was just a brilliant day all round, wasn't it?
Same again. I think the fans going on the pitch, I think it's one of them ones. Everyone's looking to see who's the first one to go. And if they get away with it, then it's like the floodgates open and the first one that tries it gets absolutely mullered by the stewards. And I think everyone goes, we're not going to try it now. And that's sort of like...
Yeah, well, it was only once he'd gone back in the stand, wasn't it? He ran on the pitch and then realised that he was running on his own, turned around, went back into the stand, and then there was a bit of altercation in the family stand to get him out, and then Frog marched across the pitch.
Yeah, well, like I say, that everyone was warned. I was a little bit surprised they allowed, especially in the Cheadle end, allowed so many kids to get to that front barrier and stand right at the front. Because I always think that's sort of tempting fate. If they just say, clear this, keep this area clear and move them on, then it sort of stops them. But like you say, everyone behaved apart from the one village idiot that we always seem to have.
There was actually a second village idiot. I don't know whether you saw him, but during the celebrations, a kid jumped onto the pitch, grabbed one of the bottles of champagne and tried to get back into the Cheadland.
Right.
And like, he got carted off. Yeah. I mean, he must have been 13, 14. He got carted off. And you could see his dad was like remonstrating. His dad had a little toddler on his shoulders. Yeah. He had to pass the toddler down to some other person he was with. He jumped over. He tried to like get his kid back and it was just car crash. I was watching it thinking, oh man, this is not good. Point, I think you're both going to get banned here.
Yeah, well, at that point, I've got no sympathy because I think all the players' wives and kids were on the pitch as well at that point. So if you go on the pitch, there is no excuse for it. When you know, safety and all that lot, once the, you know, you've got little children on the pitch and the players, you stay off the pitch. And if you've got, doesn't matter how old you are, if you're on the pitch, sorry, you're asking for trouble because, like I say, they're just not going to take any risk with safety on it.
Yeah, and in fact, on that note, I want to say that Nick Powell's oldest daughter, who looked about 5 or 6, she's going to be a lioness because she was absolutely brilliant. Did you see her kicking the ball around?
And you mentioned
she was doing drag backs and nutmegs and all sorts with like all the other kids that were on the pitch. She was great. So, Nick, if you're listening to this, a lot of respect for your daughter, mate. You've obviously done a lot of work with her in the back garden.
Superb. Anything else from anybody else or we will wrap it up there?
I enjoyed, obviously, the fireworks after about 5 minutes of kickoff, but they were...
Yeah.
The fireworks at the end were good, but I just wish they lasted a little bit longer. I wanted to see them flames out of them bucket things a little bit higher and a little bit longer. we all know it's only just for the photo opportunity, and it's just a 10-second thing for a photo. But yeah, I still would have liked to see a bit more of it. But yeah, hopefully we might get to see it again, that sort of thing again in our lifetimes.
Hope so. Right. Well, that is the penultimate want for the Courtyard Club Call. We will be back on Wednesday night with the live pod. I believe we have a Wrexham podcaster on with us, don't we, Russ? Is that correct?
We do. We have Tim from Fearless and Devotion, and we've got fan guest Daniel Davies joining us this week.
Okay, cool. We did sort of mention early on we are going to do some bonus pods. We're going to do some reviews of the season. We'll do an overall one with all of us in, and then we might do some little ones doing month by month. We're also going to do a squad review, whether that'll be one of the live pods or if we'll do that as an extra one, we'll see. So plenty of stuff for once the season finishes, but we will be back on the Courtyard Club Call next Monday, when we will review, hopefully, a win at Wrexham.
Hopefully by 5 goals as well, Waggy.
By 5 goals.
Yeah.
Are we thinking our clean slate of no red cards this season might be in jeopardy for that game as well?
I think it could be. It's probably someone going to get 2 yellow cards for Mullen diving.
Well, I've heard it on good authority that Ben Tozer won't be playing because he doesn't get in their defence anymore. So Sars might not have that bit of needle with Tozer.
Fair enough.
Watch this space.
Watch this space. Okay. Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Russ. And we will see you next week. Bye now.
Cheers.
Bye. Cheers.
The 90th minute, all your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.